Good morning. Hope everyone had a wonderful week and having a good beginning of the week here. We do have some announcements we're going to make you aware of, and then we'll jump into our lesson. This morning we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to have our Gospel of Mark series this morning in Sunday school, and then we're going to look at the Beatitudes in the Sunday morning service, and Brother Christian will be preaching tonight for us. So that's why we've moved things around a little bit. So Mark chapter number 6 is where we're going to start out. Announcement-wise, this coming Saturday is Outreach Saturday, so do your best to be here with that. It's like I said, most of us just go canvassing, is just walking and putting things on doors. A good part of outreach, get our information out about our church, and also get opportunity to get the gospel out there with the tracts that we leave. Business meeting next Sunday night at the end of the service. There is Tidewater Baptist Church, which is in Chesapeake, Virginia, is hosting a Brother Scott Pauley is going to be there the week before he's here, and he'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But on Saturday, they're having a personal evangelism seminar, and I plan on going to it. And I was encouraging if anybody would like to come with me. That's next Saturday morning. We'll leave here about 9:45, probably get back about 3. It includes lunch. They have a seminar, then they have lunch, and then they have a question and answer time with the evangelist. So if you'd like to be a part of that, I think there's a sign-up sheet out there for that. So we'll take a vehicle. If you plan on coming, you don't have to ride with us if you don't want to. But like I said, it'd be a good thing. I think all of us could work on how much we reach out to others. And so I think it'd be an encouragement and be a good thing. So that is on May 6th. So that's coming up May 6th. It starts at 11 o'clock. Like I said, then they provide a lunch. There's no cost to it. And I would encourage you to be a part of that. And the big thing going on at our church coming up is May 12th to the 14th is our family conference. And Brother Scott Pauley and his parents will be here with us. Brother John Godfrey Jr. will also be helping us in some of the breakout sessions. That is Friday from about 6 to 9, Saturday from about 9 to 12. Friday night about 8:35, 8:40, we're going to have a dessert fellowship. And that's for anyone who came that day. But we like for people to help us bring in desserts. So there's a sign-up sheet out there that says Dessert Fellowship on it. We did not write down, is for people that are coming, the idea that they're supposed to bring dessert. A couple people had signed up, not realizing they thought that it was just for attendance. So if you plan on bringing a dessert, it can help us with bringing dessert. There's a sign-up sheet out there for that. We do ask that you sign up for the conference. You say, why do I got to sign up for a conference at my own church? Part of the reason is so we can know how much food to prepare. There is a dessert fellowship, and then also Saturday morning there's a light breakfast, and then during Saturday's time period, sometime around 10 o'clock, there's going to be a little bit of a snack that's there. So we're hoping everyone will come. We're hoping everybody will treat it like a revival or even an upper stage, because I know sometimes people work during the evening times. So on Saturday, we're hoping that everybody can come to be a part of that. So if you plan on coming to the conference, whether you're going to eat or not, so that way we can know which rooms. We have a ladies section, men's section. We're going to have to break off into different rooms to make sure we have enough space. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. So if you're able to plan on coming, please sign up for that. And we do need help with nursery for those days. There is 6 sessions. There's 4 combined sessions and 2 breakout sessions. So we're hoping to get enough nursery workers to where they can help take care of those, where people won't have to miss more than one, or maybe if you want to be helping 2 of them. But please let us know that. Let me know that, or let Miss Leah know that, the nursery workers for the family conference. Also, a special offering that we're taking up, if you want to mark on the outside of your envelope to help with the cost of things like the dessert fellowship, the food, more extra speakers mean different things, more travel expense, things like that. So if you'd like to help us with the special offering, I think it's going to be worth it, but I encourage you to be a part of that. Mother's Day service, got a special Mother's Day service. It's only going to be Sunday school and Sunday morning. All the adults will be out here. Brother Scott Pauley will be preaching for us, and then have the morning service. And then after that, we're going to have a fellowship back there, and it's for everyone. It's not just for the ladies, but the difference is we're going to ask that the ladies don't help that day. Normally, the majority, I know there are some gentlemen that help, but usually it's mostly ladies. So because it's Mother's Day, we're going to ask all the ladies gets to take a seat and let us men and maybe some of the teens or children to help us with the fellowship, with the cooking. So we don't not asking anybody to bring anything in. The things will be provided and things like that for that day. So that way it'd be a special day. Plus, we're going to have a gift for all the ladies that are here, too, on that day. So Okay, let's go ahead and jump into our lesson. Mark chapter number 6, title of this morning's message is, They Found Fault. They Found Fault. So we're going to start off where we left off last week in the Sunday morning hour. And I tell you that when I first became a pastor, most of you know a little bit about my background. I grew up at a church called Baptist Bible Church in Elkton, Maryland. Dr. Tom Berry was my pastor. Pastor Berry had left to go somewhere else. They brought in another guy for a couple years. And then after that, that guy did something wrong. He had to go, had to leave the ministry. So our church was reeling a little bit. And then they brought in another gentleman. And this gentleman here was a little bit more what they would call progressive, call more liberal when it comes to music and things like that and standards and other things like that. They didn't think exactly the way, especially the way our church had been brought up and all those other things. So when I got called to preach, I was leaving as the other gentleman was coming in. And in this story, I come to a passage of scripture like this. And I guess what I'm saying this at the beginning of my ministry as a youth pastor, even as a younger pastor, I would look at this passage of scripture and I'd be like, I don't want anybody to be confused. I don't want to be confused what I believe in, because I believe in holy living. I believe in righteous living. I believe in things such as doing things godly and doing things the right way. But there's a group here that Jesus talks about. And the same thing was, we're going through the Gospel of Mark. What's our desire? Is to follow what Jesus followed, to learn what Jesus said, to learn how Jesus reacted. And I grew up and I've been around church, like I said, 9 months before I was born, all the way through. And I'm not bragging, but I've been around a lot of people. I've been around people that are inside this passage that has caused harm to churches that sometimes they don't even realize it. And when it comes to this spot, we're talking about Pharisees and scribes that would follow Jesus around just to be critical. And they had created their own laws. They had created their own traditions. And what they have done with their traditions, they put them above the word of God. And that's being legalistic. Now, legalism in the truest form or the rare, is if somebody adds something to salvation. Like, for instance, if you, a legalist is someone who says, not only do you, like the Judaizers, not only did you have to be saved, but you had to be baptized and you had to follow these things in order to become a Christian, to be a believer. Here in this passage of scripture, we see some men that are, it's found in the Bible. We talked about this before, about the withered hand, how they sat there and they watched Jesus. They set him up and they just sat there and watched him so they could find fault with him, so they could criticize him. And I want to encourage you today to be someone who loves the Lord with all their heart and has a desire to love the Lord and just care about what his desires are and what the word of God says. And this morning in our next beatitude, if you're following along, is, you know, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so it's there. It's a hungering. That's part of the reason why we switch it, so it can be side by side. And making sure that what we believe is scriptural and that we follow it with a passion and that we're not just adding little things that make us look good or what we think in our own thinking. Hey, and here the thought is, that you're going to see here, they give Jesus a hard time about his disciples not washing their hands before they ate. That seems kind of ridiculous to us. And they're not even talking about being clean. They're not even talking about being cleansing from germs. They're talking about a ceremonial type cleansing because of the fact that they may have been around Gentiles. They had to do certain things in order. And what they had done for many years is they had began to add, especially during those silent years of when the Old Testament started and New Testament began, their silent years where they began to add more and more traditions. And that's what you're having here, the Pharisees and scribes. They have added so many different traditions that it's gotten to the point they care more about their traditions than the word of God. And as I said, he said, Pastor, why would you have a problem about preaching about this as a younger guy? As a younger man, I hadn't seen everything that I've seen. I haven't experienced everything that I've experienced. I haven't been around people that have been as hypocritical as I have encountered in the last 20 years. And there's challenges that are there. And maybe I saw even growing up some, I would sit there and I would see certain people who would say one thing out in front in public, but then turn around and act completely different in private. They would sit there and be critical and they would say certain things just because they didn't get their own way. And we went through they wouldn't tell you it was a church split, but it was pretty much a church split. We went through a church split, and I watched men and women who I looked up to for years because I didn't maybe know as much about their character, only saw their outward form. And I saw some of the things they did and got discouraged in some ways. It didn't stop me from going to church. At that point in time, God had already spoken to my heart. I was already in Bible college again, doing it the hard way, you know, working the midnight shift, even teaching school and having the baby, all those things. It was not going to shake my faith, but it did show and open up my eyes to how some people do not come to just worship God at church. Sometimes people come to push an agenda. And so that's where it came to challenge, because I don't want anybody ever think to walk away and say, hey, Pastor Pease doesn't believe in holy living. I do, but I want to make sure it's scriptural. I don't want to take and make some of the rituals that maybe we have experienced and say, hey, this is just as important as the Word of God. And the challenges that are there that we put on the same line and we try to justify and we try to make things and say, oh, that's the gospel. You have to do this in order to be saved, where the Bible talks about, for by grace are you saved through faith. There's only one way to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. And it's not also believing something else that we want to tack on. So let's look what it says here. And we're going to start in Mark chapter number 6. We're not going to spend much time here, but I do want to lead you to this passage and show you the contrast, the difference that's here. This is Mark chapter 6. Look what it says in verse number 53. We had just seen the miracle we looked at last week. Jesus walking on the water. They had been, the storm had been quieted. And it says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of the Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And the reason we see the loving response to Jesus here, and it says, and ran through that the whole region round about and began to carry in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. I want you to see here in verses 53, 54, 55, 56, the reaction to Jesus. They were excited. Jesus was here. I'm going to go get people that he's going to help. I'm going to bring him there. And I want Jesus to help these individuals. Jesus to help these people. That should be our response. We know that there's a response there. There's Jesus that's there. He can help us. Let's get as many people as we can there. But you see in chapter number 7, it says, then came together, saying about the same period of time, the same story. There's a stark contrast here. There's the group that's here in this land that are bringing the people for Mark. It's where in Mark chapter 7, verse number 1 now. Verses earlier talked about how they were bringing people. Hey, let's get people to Jesus. Let's get people to Jesus. There's people that can heal. It says as they were walking by, they just touched him, his garment. They were healed. Chapter number 7, there's a group of people that come. And this group of people that come aren't rejoicing on what's happening. They aren't excited about the people getting the help. They sit there and they sit back and they watch. And then they find something that they find fault with. And instead of rejoicing in all the people that are getting help, they find something that they find fault with. And Jesus finds fault with them. Sometimes we don't like to think, oh, well, that's just they get the wrong attitude. No, Jesus has spoke harsher to the religious leaders throughout the New Testament and throughout the Gospels than he has ever spoken to someone that was in the grips of sin. If you go back and you read it, and that's what I'm saying, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, we've seen these people pop up, and sometimes we like not to talk about it because sometimes they might remind us of people in our church or remind us of ourselves, and it's challenging us, and it's saying, make sure what you believe is scriptural. Make sure what you're pushing on others and putting on others is something that is scriptural, and do not forsake the law of God and the commandments of God to make sure your opinion is getting across. That's exactly what he's saying here. Look what it says in chapter 7, verse number 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And it says, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. That's where we come to the spot, is they saw all the miraculous things happening. I mean, they saw all the good things happening. And you know what? They sat and they watched. How would they know that the disciples didn't wash their hands unless they were watching them? And they came and they ate before. And I've been places. I've seen places. I've seen revivals happening. I've seen large groups. And once again, I am not justifying sin. And I'm not saying that we should justify sin. But I've seen us have people here or even at other places, especially in God's working and God's moving. And someone comes up with one thing and says, hey, they're doing this wrong over there. And not with the right attitude, not with the sweet spirit, not with the kind forgiving. It's hey, we need to fix this. Not seeing all the good things. And once again, we sinners are going to act like sinners and sinners are going to look like sinners. But at the same time, and you see in this story here, they begin to give him a hard time. It says at the end, verse number 2, they found fault. It says, for the Pharisees and the Jews, except they wash their hands, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So that it's, he's saying, this is what they found fault with, because they would not dare eat unless they had done the ceremonial washing. But you look what it says at the end of that verse number 3, holding the tradition of the elders. They had got to a spot where they said that the elders' traditions are so important, I have a right to go up to people I have no accountability to. That they're not accountable to me at all. I'm not accountable to them at all. But I have the right to go up to them and say, what you're doing is wrong. And I know that they've received this position of being the religious leaders of the day, but they travel somewhere to watch Jesus and they sit and they find fault. In verse number 4, and when they were come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And the market is the idea that they might have brushed with the Gentiles. They might have been around the Gentiles, touched something that a Gentile might have touched. So they believe the ceremonial cleaning and many other things there be which they have received to hold. And then it says it's not just about hands. It says as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables, they're saying these things. And he's saying not only this, that they wouldn't do that with their hands. They said that these instruments, they also need to be washed and ceremonially washed. It wasn't just for the germs, but it was for the show of being right. And then you see here in verse number 5, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, who's him? They're talking about Jesus. Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Why aren't your disciples following the traditions of the elders? They're asking the Son of God why they're not paying attention to man's rules. They don't see it. Now, they've heard of miracles. They've heard all the things that are going here. That's why a group of them went to watch and say, well, this can't be true. This can't be right. Let us sit here and let us watch until we see something wrong so that way we can judge them and criticize them. And then you continue on. It says in verse number 6, this is how Jesus responds. Jesus doesn't respond and say, oh, I'm sorry. Jesus speaks and tells them what is in their hearts. It says, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. We all know what a hypocrite is, one person who wears a mask, who pretends to be one thing and pretend to be something else. And when it talks about spiritual things, talks about being holy and being right and saying this is so important. But in their heart, it says it here, it says, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship and then for the show, but their heart is far from God. Their heart is far from the things of God. They might try to look good in front of everybody else, and they might try to impose and say, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, but their heart is very, very far from God. And then it continues on in verse number 7, howbeit in vain, look at this, in vain do they worship me. We know that word vain is referring to things that are worthless. It comes to naught. There's nothing to it. It's worthless how they worship. It says, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They have taken the commandments of these religious leaders and these other people over these last hundreds of years, and they've taken it and said, this is the word of God. Now, people that do that, like a Joseph Smith, we sit there and look at them and say, oh, no, it's a false, there is no new revelation, other things. But they would go and they would write things that they thought was best for the society of that day, and they would continue to add, and then they would come and say, this is what you need to obey, as if it was the doctrines of the commandments, that this is God's commandments. Verse number 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men and the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. So they were saying that they would have to take apart certain commandments of God here and set this aside in order to get their traditions to come through. I wonder how many times we have taken the commandments of God and set them aside to get our own opinions across, to get our own thoughts across. We'll talk about that if we have time towards the end. Verse number 9, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions. And then he begins to give an example here. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Now, in verses 10 through 12, he's given a description of, in the Old Testament, in the law, talked about honoring your father and mother, even talked about taking care of them as they become elderly and making sure they had their needs met. But the religious leaders of the day had made a little thing to make you, a way to get out of that. If you didn't want to take care, if you didn't want to honor them, if you didn't want to use your resources to help take care of the elderly of your mother and father, you could say that it's something. It says in verse number 12, but ye say, if any man say to his father or mother, it is Corban. They're saying that I've dedicated everything I have over to God, and I'm giving it all that over. Now, they could still use this for their own resources, but then if they're giving it to the church and giving it to religious things and giving it to help line the agenda of the Pharisees and the scribes and things like that, then no longer are you responsible for your father and your mother. That's not found in the Bible anywhere. That's not found in the Testament. That is something that they came up with to help benefit what they were trying to push and benefit from the things that they were doing. And they came to a spot and said, if you're willing to say everything belongs to God, then guess what? You can just turn around and forget about your father and mother. You see a challenge with that. I see a challenge with that. Hopefully you see a challenge. Here's a couple of things I want you to think about. We saw a loving response, a legalistic resistance. A legalistic resistance. I don't think you can add anything to salvation. Here, they're trying to say you had to do these things in order to be right. First thing I see about this group of people is they enjoyed trials. They enjoyed trials. They found fault. In verse number 2, I see that they found fault. There are people in the world that love to look for things to be critical of. There are people in the world that love to criticize others. One preacher says, there are few things in life as brutal and heartless as a cold and dead religion. Because they will sit there and they will critical over something that they do not truly when their heart is far from God. What does the Bible say is pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There are some people in this world today that actually enjoy being critical and finding criticism, finding fault. They like to sit there and all they're doing is looking. And sometimes people have different temperaments. I understand that. People are different in their temperaments. And because of how they believe, they are willing to do these things. And because they're willing to do these things, they become somebody who actually enjoys trials. I've met people say, I like to stir the pot up some. Where is it found that you should give someone else a hard time? It's not found in there. Now, once again, if there's a serious concern, if there's a problem, there is biblical ways of dealing with that. But no. I just like to mess with people to try to cause heartache. And inside of a church, inside the family of God. Next thing, they elevated their traditions. This washing was not to clean the vessel and table of germs, but it was a religious function created by the traditions of elders, which according to them had spiritual significance. Failure to obey these rules brought a displeasure from God. He's saying, if you don't listen to these, I'm taking my traditions and I'm elevating them above the word of God. I'm taking these traditions and I'm elevating them according to what I think is important. And this is more important than God's word. Oh, that's a dangerous spot to be. But that's where some people are. And like I said, I've watched and I've seen people over the years. I've seen it be other churches. I've read how their hearts are far from God, but they still want to have a position of authority. They still want to be able to tell people what to do, even though their heart is so far from God. They have sin they don't want to deal with, and they just choose to say, well, this is how I feel. And they take their traditions and they lifted it up, and they have no heart for God. They have no heart for the lost. They have no heart to be an encouragement and do the things of God. That's what I see here in these Pharisees. And then they also eliminated teaching. When truth takes a backseat to the traditions of man, you can be sure that the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, is going to be on decline. even says here, howbeit in verse number 7, in vain do they worship me. They're saying it's vain that they worship what they're doing, even though they do it according to rules, and even though they step it up a little bit more, and the Pharisees would say, hey, look, I fast this many times a week. I give this much of my giving here. I do all these things that compared to a normal or a regular person, I do so much more. And God says, that is nothing but vain. That is nothing but worthless. That is nothing but that is it's going to come to nothing because of the fact that your heart is from me, far from me. You don't care about the things I say. You don't care about what I desire, but instead you care about your own traditions. They have eliminated the teachings of the Word of God, and they go through motions of a vain worship, and they miss the power of the Word. In fact, they sought the law to be able to figure out ways to evade the Word, sort of like this Corbin thing. Let's figure out a way to get around how we should honor them that the Bible says. And sometimes we try to figure out ways that we don't have to reach out to the world, or we don't have to help the poor, or we don't have to honor this person, or we don't have to listen to this person. We try to figure out ways in the law to try to twist it and make it to where we can ignore those things in order to accomplish what we want. That's when he said they found fault. Last thing I want you to see is that the Bible said in Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto him, you do err, not knowing the scriptures and the power of God. Third thing is we see a limiting reality. Mark 7:13 says, Mark, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. He says that you're making the word of God of none effect. That last verse of the text is a stern warning from Christ. We are the ones who lose when we view God. When we lose the view of God, we're the ones that lose out. We lose out on his God. We lose out on his word. We lose out on his work. It becomes clouded. It has to be this way. This is the way it's got to be. This is the way. They have to wash their hands. The elders, the traditions have said it the last few hundred years. It's got to be this way. And he says, your heart's far from me. You don't have this desire to say that I want to love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my might and all my strength and all my mind. And I desire this. This is what I want. I want to love God like that. And he's like, no. It has to be. You got to wash your hands a certain way or you're wrong with God. And it's not found there. So what has he done? You've limited all these other. The reality of the teachings of the Word of God has been taken. And as he said in verse number 10, laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. I wish I had a little bit more time to develop it, but I asked myself this question while I was studying, and I don't know if it meant anything to you, but it meant something to me. Is there something I have to lay aside that's a commandment from God in order to follow a tradition that man made? Think about it. Is there ever a right to turn around and say, I can break the commandment of God on how to treat somebody in order to get my way across? That's what they're doing. Is there ever a time not to be forgiving? Is there ever a time not to be kind? Is there ever a time to do these things in order to get my traditions across and get a point across that I say needs to happen? But I've seen it happen so often in churches over years. Maybe not here. I think we have a kind-hearted church. And obviously there's been times when people have disappointed me and people have failed me. And I've seen people who doesn't seem from, there's no fruit of the Spirit evident in their life. You don't see them wanting to be a witness. You don't see certain things. And it seems like it's hard. But at the same time, this is what you should do. And I love opinions. I love when people pray for me. I love when people encourage me with other things. But I have seen people walk right over the commandments of God in order to get what they want done. You're supposed to be, this is what the Bible says. That's okay. I need to get my point across. This is how we're supposed to do things. Is that really found there? Is that how you're supposed to treat that person that's lost? Is that how you're supposed to treat that person that's down? Is that the way you're supposed to treat that person in authority? Is that really what it means when it comes to giving? Is that really what it means when it comes to serving? If it doesn't equal into our equation of what it looks like, are we setting aside, as it says here in verse number 8, laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. And he says about things of washing of pots and cups and many other things, such things like you do. He said, Pastor, you're probably out there and you're trying to be vindictive to somebody in your church that's made you upset. It's in the next spot. It's in Mark chapter 7. We talked about Mark 6 last week. But there are many times people that who come to church and they hear from church in verse number 6, and he said, Isaiah's prophesied you of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips and their heart is far from me. There's people who sit in churches many times that honor God with their lips, but their heart's so far from him. And they've taken the commandments that God has said, and they said, well, that doesn't really work for me, so I'm going to step over that one. I lay it aside because of the fact that this is going to help me. It's not me. He's the one that said it. Would it be much easier to get up here and preach on holy living and standards, say everybody should do this because I say it? That would be just a tradition of man, wouldn't it? And then somebody else can add to mine because they want to look more spiritual than me. And then someone else can add to that because it looks more spiritual. And then, hey, let's throw this in here. And then let's throw this in here. And let's throw this in here. And then you're following a bunch of rules and you're following a bunch of guidelines. And then there's a bunch of people over here in the world that's sitting there looking at that, and they don't see the love of Christ. They don't see the kindness. They don't see the help that people are getting. And they're wondering, what in the world are all these things? Now, if you can go to the scriptures, like I said, the standards that I have in my life, I have scriptural backing for them. If you don't have scriptural backing for them, you should need to find it, or you need to question, why am I looking down on someone else because they feel that way? There is holy living in the Bible. There is things such as not putting wicked things before your eyes. We teach and preach that. There is things about modesty. There is things about how you should treat one another. There is ways that you're supposed to treat your husband and treat your wife. Those are not things that we're laying aside to get something pushed across. These are things that are scriptural that we say, we encourage and we preach and we teach holy living. But they were adding to it and says, hey, I think this would be a good idea. This would work really well so that way we could get some more money over here. Or this would work really well to show how bad we hate the Gentiles. And this would work here. And this would justify this. And this will make this look better. But their heart, they're not on their knees. And they're not praying. And they're not seeking God. And as in the next service, they're going to talk about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I want to be right. Doesn't mean I have to be right every time, but I want to be right with God to the point I'm willing to humble myself, and I'm willing to be like a thirsty man and a hungry man that's willing to take whatever God gives me because I'm yearning and I'm longing for him and I'm desiring it. But inside this group here, there is a group of people who do not have a heart that's close to God. But they're the leaders of the day. They're the ones in charge. Pray for your pastor. That his heart would stay right, that he would be clean so he could hear. Pray for those that are deacons and teachers and those in your church. The devil comes and attacks so hard and so much. Pray for one another. And when someone else struggles, follow the scripture, what should be said, not just man's tradition. Don't just blow them out of the water. Don't just ignore them. Just don't pretend they're not alive. Don't turn. And where does it say that? It doesn't, but that's the tradition of man. It's easier than having to go to somebody and say, we have a fault amongst one another. It's easier to just do this or easier to do that. It's not there. Take the traditions of man and say, okay, I'm going to set this aside and I'm going to look at it. Is this what the scripture says? Is this what it means? Is this what, instead of taking the Bible and saying, this is what it means and this is why I'm applying this. So I guess my question for you in verse number 8 is there a commandment of God that you're laying aside to accomplish your purpose? Is there something you have to say, I cannot do this? I had to set this aside in order to continue living the way we're living. Because it's supposed to work together. The scriptures are supposed to tie in all together, that they are all something that we obey him first. And then from them, we develop biblical principles. And from that, we develop standards. And from that, we try to teach younger people. And we try to teach maybe more immature Christians. You know, this has helped me when I did this. And it helped clear my mind and other things like this. And this helped me in my walk. And this is what holy living looks like to me in the modern day world that we live in. We take the biblical things and we look at what the scripture says and we apply it today. Yes, they were not doing that. They were taking the traditions of man and they were trying to figure out, how can I make this work? And what were they doing? They were looking to do nothing but to find fault. It says at the end of verse number 2, they found fault. If you're trying to find fault in church, it's not going to be hard. I could look around and I could say, hey, well, they did this wrong and they did that wrong. Hey, they were late and they said the wrong thing. They didn't shake my hand. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. I could find a ton of things fault wrong. We all could if we're looking for that. But we come here to worship. And that's what he's saying. Remember, could you imagine if you were there and these people were being healed by this man, Jesus, and then these religious leaders come over and start giving Jesus a hard time? How do you think these people over here feel? The ones that just got healed physically. And they're sitting there saying, hey, your disciples, they didn't wash their hands like they should have. Hey, are you going to take care of them? Are you going to do something? And Jesus is probably there and he's like, do you not see all these? Your heart, it's far away from me. You take the commandments of God, you lay them aside for the traditions of men. You push and you say that this is what makes you right with God when it's not found in the scriptures. Let me encourage you today. Guess ask yourself this question. Don't worry about trying to figure out what type of hypocrite I am. Just say, is there a commandment of God that I'm laying aside in my life so I can live the life I want to live? Whatever it may be, there could be a long list of things that we might, you know, how we treat one another, how, reading our Bible, praying, giving, serving, whatever it is there a commandment that God has given me that I've laid aside in order to be able to push a certain agenda to get my way done? Not everybody can get their way done at church. We all think differently. We all act differently. There's one who should get their way done in church. That's God. So today, they found fault. Let me encourage you today. Is there a commandment I'm putting aside to be who I am today? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that this message be taken in the spirit that was intended, Lord. It's a spirit that I believe that you intended to help these Pharisees. Lord, and I got to be honest, as I looked at that, there was many things in my life that I looked at and I considered, is there something I'm laying aside to prove a certain point? I do not want to lay aside the commandments of God. I want to obey the commandments of God. I want to believe the commandments of God. I don't want to push the tradition of men. But God, I do also know we can learn from others and we can grow from others, and that this message wouldn't be something that someone will walk away and say, oh, there's something wrong with holy living, because that's not scriptural. There's something wrong with asking for standards and things like that, because that's not scriptural. But they will see inside their heart that whether or not they are close to him, close to you, close to the point that you don't, that you fear, that they fear you. These Pharisees and scribes had no issue, no problem with going to Jesus and saying, what you're doing is wrong. They had no authority over Jesus. They had no business being there, but they still wanted to say, what you need to change. God, help us. Help us for our hearts not to be far from you. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us in the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.